Will you pause and pray with me for a moment? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today's the last day of 2017. Tonight, people will stay up late or go to bed early and wake up, and tomorrow we will have a magic new number. And there's something about that magic new number that gets people excited. We get excited about this idea of new, this new year, this new day, this new month, all happening at the same time. And we get excited about it because there's hope. There's hope that tomorrow will be different than today. There's hope that next year will be better than this year. And if we're honest, there's also a little fear mixed in with that too. Maybe next year will not be as good as we hope it will be. Maybe next year will be just like this year. I heard a groan from the choir. Maybe tomorrow will be just like today. And so we go into this new year with mixed thoughts, don't we? Conflicted emotions. We are hopeful that things will be better, that things will change, that growth will happen. And yet there's this fear that they may not, and we'll have more of the same. More of the same news cycle where people are complaining about the other people. And it doesn't matter which news agency you find, there's always another side that complains about whatever news agency you're paying attention to. There's always an us versus them idea. And that's not going to go away, and that dashes our hopes a bit. But maybe, by the grace of God, we can hold on to hope even in the midst of those fears, even in the midst of what we know probably will happen next year, where some things will be the same. But we hope that God will do something in us and through us, don't we? We hope that tomorrow will bring a new day because God is alive and at work in our lives and through our lives. We hope that God will do something in us and through us. We hope that the fact that we take breath again and expel it will do something to make this world better, right? We hope because we are people of hope. We follow a God who came and lived among us, who died and didn't stay dead. That's not more of the same, right? We are people of hope who believe in new creation and recreation and new spirits and new life where there was no life before. I want to point you to one of my favorite hymns that we just sang. And we just said these words. This is the last verse. The last two lines. Praise with elation. Praise every morning. God's recreation of the new day. What I love about this song is not only is it a song of hope, but it's a song of joyful union with God. A way that we can hold on to hope that it may not be Eden out there. Jack Frost is around, and some of us may not think Jack Frost was welcome in the Garden of Eden. But still, God is recreating. God is making new. God is restoring that which is broken. And every morning we can sing with the birds, and maybe wish they sang a little later, but we can sing with the birds that because God has created a new day. And just like the first day of creation, God has given us light. God has taken chaos and made order, and we get to participate in that. It's a beautiful song, it's a beautiful idea, and I love to look at it and think about it the day before the new year begins. Because God is recreating. God is giving us an opportunity to create with God the newness of life, the restoration of all things. God's kingdom come near. we get to participate in that. And because we're people of hope and a little realistic, we know that some things will stay the same, but God is doing a new thing. God is restoring. God is creating. And we get to be participants in that. We get to be made new because of who God is and who we're created to mirror. We are made new. And because we are made new, there is hope. There's hope that tomorrow will be different than today, at least for you and I. There's hope that this next month will be different for you and I, and hopefully for the whole world. There's hope because God is in you and God is in me. And God is alive and active in this world, even when it doesn't feel like it. This is the song, "Morning Has Broken." A new day, a new time has been born. And there's a beauty in that. Because every day we rise with Christ. Some of us may feel dead in the morning. And we rise with Christ into newness of life. And we live in the fullness of His glory. We aren't even aware of that most of the time, are we? We live and are born anew every day. So many religions throughout the world have this idea of a day as a cycle of birth and death. Born in the morning, die at night. Born in the morning, die at night. I think there's a reason for that, because God created that rhythm in us. God created this, we're born into hope and a life. And the reason I was taught as a child that prayer that I did not teach my children, because it just doesn't seem right. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Because at night we lay ourselves in God's hands. This is new life. Now that particular prayer I didn't teach my kids, because I don't want them thinking about death every time they go to sleep. But for us grown-ups, it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Every day I'm alive, it becomes more realistic. Hope in life. Hope in newness. This is our story. We wake in the garden and we walk with God. Maybe that's why some people start out their day doing morning devotions. They want to wake up with God in the garden. They want to walk with God. They want to sit with God in their quiet place. And they want God to tell them, "I'm making you new today." Don't forget about tomorrow. Learn the lesson. Don't forget about yesterday. Learn the lessons from yesterday. But live today. Because I have made you new. The mistakes you made yesterday will not be the same mistakes you make today. There's hope in that. We rise in the morning with Christ in hope. And we walk with God throughout the day in the garden. But that's really about us, isn't it? A lot less about God. We walk with God in the garden, and we were created in the garden to mirror the image of God, the Imago Dei, as church theologians have called it. We were created to mirror the image of God. And we don't always do a good job of that, do we? We lose our tempers. We say things we shouldn't. We look at things we shouldn't. We treat people as if they're not fully human. And we're not the first people to do that. Israel was not very good at being God's people either. If you read the Old Testament, you pick up on that pretty quick, right? The kingdom of God, well, what they thought was the kingdom of God, was not really very godly. It was just a kingdom. And so Ezekiel the prophet has this message for them. Doug read it earlier for us. I'm going to read it from this translation, which is slightly different than what you heard. I will take you from the nations, I will gather you from all countries, and I will bring you to your own fertile land. That's good news, right? Ezekiel's writing to the people of God who are in exile in Babylon. They want to go home. They want to have hope that tomorrow will be different, that God will do something for them on their behalf. And we're not all that different. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be cleansed of all your pollution. Sprinkle clean water. You know what this is, right? At any point in the rest of the service, if you want to come up here and sprinkle clean water on yourself to remember your baptism, feel free. Come up during a song. Come up during the offering. Remember your baptism. Be made clean. I will cleanse you of all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. That's not a medical comment. Now today we can give you a new heart. It was someone else's first, but it's a new heart to you. But that's not what Ezekiel is talking about. That's not what God is saying. He is saying the core of your being will be remade, will be made new. So that the things that you have always sought after, which is me, myself, and I, and how can I do what's best for those three people, will not be the core of your being when I live among you. When God dwells within you, God reorients your whole being, a new heart, a new and right spirit that turns from the inward focused to the outward focused. So that all of us can live into the commands that God has given, that Jesus said were the most important. Love God. Love your neighbors. This is the new spirit, the new heart within us. And this is why we can have hope for a new year, right? That God is active in our lives, doing something, changing that inward focused spirit to an outward focused spirit. That what's important to you is more important to me than what's important to me. This is the hope. And then you will observe my regulations and my commandments. So when God has done something in me, in all of us, then we can do what God wants us to do. Then we can faithfully mirror who God is in this world. And if you read the context from Ezekiel 36, you'll find out that God's doing this. God is giving a new spirit, a new heart to the people of God. Not because God wants us to know what that's like, but because God is tired of being mocked all around the world because the people of God aren't the people of God. God is doing this so that we can more faithfully mirror God's glory in this world, God's love and mercy in this world. The leading cause of people who don't believe in God is the people who say they do believe in God, not following God. There's a famous quote that is attributed to Gandhi that says, "Your Jesus I like very much. If your people who follow Jesus were more like Jesus, I would like them too." It's not about us. It's about God being revealed in and through us. It's about how we mirror the image of God in this world. How well we reflect that which we were created to bear. This week, I was told my car was very dirty. I was told that it was not revealing that which it was created to reveal, and that I needed to take it to a car wash or wash it myself. And I took it to a car wash. And then I had to wash it myself. Because it was dirty and needed to be cleaned. And the thing that I thought would clean it did not. And there's a whole sermon right there in that sentence. But that's not the sermon today. The car needed to be washed because it wasn't polished, it wasn't shiny, it wasn't reflecting the image that it was created to reflect. And I didn't grow up with grandma's silver, but maybe that analogy works better for you. Maybe grandma's silver needed to be polished. But the Creator of the universe is here to wash us, to cleanse us, so that we can better reveal what we were created to reveal. That we can better show what we were created to show, that we can glorify our Creator in the beauty we have been given. Maybe this morning you need to know that you are forgiven. You need to know that this past year, the sins that you have committed, the rebellious heart that you have harbored, the things that you have said and done are forgiven. They do not define you. Come and be made new in God's presence. Be washed in the water that comes from God, the living water. Maybe this morning what you need to hear is that God isn't done with you yet. That thing that you thought you were done with, that anger problem, that gluttony problem, anybody? That extra key piece of candy, that extra cookie this time of year? One of the number one resolutions has to do with health. Maybe that sin issue that's in you that you thought was done, that you thought you didn't have to deal with anymore, God still has work to do in you. Maybe that place where you were comfortable and didn't want to read more or do more or say less. Maybe there's something God is working on you in that. You see, the Spirit of God is in us and among us and working in us that we can better be shined and polished to reveal the glory we're created to mirror. God is at work that one day you may be made whole. You may have heard in the Bible it says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The word there that is translated as perfect isn't the sort of perfection that you and I normally think of when we hear perfect. It's whole. Be made whole as your heavenly Father is whole. And the interesting thing about that is that it is be made. It isn't something that you do on your own. It is something God does in you and through you. The Spirit of God sanctifies you, cleans you, makes you whole, shines light into the dark places so that all that is hidden will be revealed. May you have hope that God will finish what God has started in you in this new year, in this new day, that you may walk with God and be unashamed. And therein lies the third part of this, what God can do and is doing. We Methodists call it cooperant grace. And it's exactly what it sounds like. We get to cooperate with God in doing what God is doing in us and through us. We don't sit idly by and say, okay, God, give it to me. We don't pull in and park and let the washer do the wash. We get to cooperate in the cleansing process. We place ourselves into the presence of God in worship on Sunday morning. And devotion and prayer. We place ourselves into God's presence as we walk around the neighborhood. We place ourselves into God's presence on a regular basis so that we can be aware of God's presence, of God's Spirit working in us and through us. This is the grace offered to you. Be forgiven. Be made new. And participate in what God is doing already in you. This new year is a time of growth and change, a time of walking with God in the garden. The question I have for you is, how will you let God grow you? How will you change or be changed? How can we grow together so that we can better reveal God's glory in this world? Brothers and sisters, there is hope. God is the one doing the polishing. God is the one doing the washing. We get to participate in that. Amen.